We start, just got back from Haiti, it seems like just yesterday, and I want it to stay that way. I want it to keep feeling like it was just yesterday. Because I don't want to lose the things that God showed me down there. I don't want Haiti to be a camp experience. I don't want Haiti to be one of those things that I let pass away. I want it to be continual and real, the things that God taught me. We were in a little village that was probably the most wicked place I've ever been in my life. And some of our girls, at the end of the trip, were waiting for the bus to get back. And there was a few kids that had started gathering around, and they sang Jesse Renman Tutumunyo, which is Jesus Loves the Little Children. And they were singing it, and a big crowd of kids came up and started listening to them. And this one kid walked up and stuck both of his fingers in his ears. And he stayed that way pretty much the whole time they were singing it. And I show you this because not because I just want to get to talk about Haiti, or I want to, because I do, but not just because I want to talk about Haiti, but I want to ask you which one of those kids you're going to be today. You want to be the kid on the left who's sitting there and he's listening, you know, a little kind of a quizzical look on his face, and he's like, I want to understand. Or do you want to be the kid on the right? Prepare a lot when we're going to go on a vacation. If we're going to be gone any period of time, you've got to make sure you've got everything that you need. You know, if we're going on vacation, Michelle's got like two lists. One's of things that we need to do before we leave, and then all the things that we need to pack and take with us and have with us. Because if you're not ready for the trip, it's going to cost you in the long run. It's going to be very, very expensive. And that's both, you know, the physical application, the one of really going on vacation, but it's also on the spiritual application as well. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to look at our trip. We're going to talk about preparation for it. We're going to talk about this lifelong journey, this pilgrimage that begins in the womb and ends in one of two places. It either ends sitting at the altar, worshiping God for eternity. That's a good thing. Or it ends up in hell. And I don't want to apologize for telling you that. You're either going to spend eternity with God or eternity in hell. Don't be the kid with his fingers in his ears. Listen. This is what the Word of God says. I'm going to read it like most of us read this. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the court of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. That's how you and I read this with our lives. I read it with my life this way sometimes. But look, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And you know, I've prayed that way at times in my life, but it should be my prayer every time. It should be my life every morning, every day. And I'll tell you, most of you that have prayed it too, most of you have prayed it at crummy times in your life. That's when you've cried out to Him like that. God help, I need you. Right. You need Him to get you through the work day. You need Him to get you through your family day. You need to have Him help you at the store or at school. That it's not just in the big things that we get. We need Him every day like that. We need Him every morning like that. And so I was looking at this, as I was preparing for this, I was thinking about when I was a kid. I used to go to church, by the way, when I went. I went because if you went enough times, you could go to Six Flags. And the youth would make you come, and they would check it off. And I made sure I made at least that number of times. But I would get so amped up about Six Flags. I was like, Six Flags, yes! I am going to ride the thing that does this. And then I'd get a little scared, maybe not ride that one, but I'd ride those. And I'd think about all the stuff we were going to eat and play and do. And, the, you know, everybody that I was going to hang out with, I'm going to ride this with that my friend here, and we're going to go do this other. And I couldn't sleep the night before. Do we do that about coming to church? You know, this is better than Six Flags.
Amen. Yeah, that's right. Amen.
This is a better ride. This is an A ticket. This is the good stuff. Only the old people got that one. Well, you ain't old, Butch. That's all right. And I know some of you are going to say, well, I'm not that kind of guy. I don't get that excited. I don't get amped up. You're a liar.
Amen.
You're a liar. You get excited about hunting and fishing. You get excited about vacation. You get excited about your job. You get excited about money, sex, something. And you get amped up about it. And you spend some time thinking about it. And you get ready to go do it. And you prepare and you go buy things. And you get ready to come and do your thing. So don't lie to me and say you don't get excited. Don't lie to me. Why are we getting excited about stuff that's going to burn? It's going to be gone. It's time, especially us, y'all, the church of the living God, gets excited about the things God's excited about. He's excited about His glory. We should be excited about that. And He's very excited about things that last forever. People, they're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. And so we should be taking a lot of time and thinking about those things and praying to God and crying out to Him, help me see, open my eyes. Y'all, we're blinded by the junk that's in our face. We're blinded by it. We see people suffering right next to us, and we can't stop because World Cup's on. It's crazy. And we'll get up at 4 in the morning to go hunting. You get up 4 in the morning to go pray? We'll get up early to drive somewhere to go like watch a concert, participate. We'll stay up late to get back home from something. We do that to talk to God? I'm talking to me as much as anybody else, y'all. God convicts me of this. He's like, man, Howard, why would you be so excited about this junk? It's junk. What's it going to matter in the end? I don't know. Let's read on. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed. And I love that the Amplified says, happy, fortunate, to be envied are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Selah. Pause and calmly think about what he just said. Little worthless birds can find a place at the altar of the living God. They can find a place to rest and build a nest and be safe and nourished and comforted and raise their young. What a better place for us. If the birds can find a place there, how much more important are you? How much more important are the people around you, your kids? And you know, the imagery is beautiful here. And I'm telling you, if you've accepted Christ, that's your spot. It's at the altar. And you guys, we're bowing at some altar. But let's bow at the altar we're supposed to bow at. I mean, in a minute we're going to find out that He's not going to take and hold back anything that's good from you. If it's good, you're still going to get to do it. Let's bow at His altar. The only place that we're going to get true nourishment. The only place we're going to get true comfort. The only place we'll be truly safe. It is the only place that's safe. Guys, I want to tell you one other story from Haiti. As we were working down there, we would get up in the mornings and we would pray during the first half of the day because we knew God was sending a million kids, and that's what it felt like. It was about almost 400. I think we had 379, I think, in a little bitty room, not even half this big. Maybe a third. Maybe. No. But, okay, I'm not even, maybe a sixth, an eighth, something like that. 300 and something kids. Yeah, that area. We would get up and we would pray every morning. We tried to clean up stuff. And the first morning we went down there, we were praying in a place that used to be the old voodoo temple that belonged to Satan. Some of y'all got that. We were praying in a place that had been a voodoo temple that belonged to Satan. It wasn't his no more. It belonged to the church. It belonged to the Lord. And we were down there in this little half wall that made a beautiful proscenium for them to do skits and stuff from. And we were sitting there and we were praying. And as the group was praying, I looked down and at my feet I see used condoms. And I was like, man, that's got to go. There's kids coming. I don't want to ask any of these people to do it. I got to get this out of here. It can't stay. It doesn't belong here. And so while people were praying, this may seem totally unspiritual, y'all, but when people were praying, think, I picked up some sticks and I've got them away from there. I didn't grab them. And I picked them. My wife testified and said, thank you. And so I took them and I got them way away from there because they don't belong there. And then the next morning we're out there praying and somebody had come and pooped in the middle of this temple that used to belong to Satan. 2 times. And I'm like, I'll do it. And so I got a board, and I picked up a board this big first, and I was like, 6 foot or something like that. And it was harder to pick it up with the bigger, longer board, but, you know. And I got it, and I carried it way off, and I got rid of it. And as I prayed, God showed me, because here's how much God loves me. God will speak to me in ways I understand. And he goes, that's the old temple that used to belong to Satan. And that stuff does not belong there anymore because this is the new temple that belongs to God. Guys, you used to belong to Satan. You're the new temple that belongs to God. That stuff, that junk, that crap doesn't belong there. Whatever it is, it's got to go. There's kids coming. There's people who need to see you without that nastiness in your life. It doesn't fit anymore. And as people pray, get it out of there. Let it go. It's nasty. You don't want to touch it even. Anything that's good, he's going to give you. Let's read on. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Selah. Just chill. Y'all, this is a long journey, a lifelong journey, and you're going to go through places like this valley that they're talking about here. The other translation for that is the valley of weeping. Probably had to do with the type of trees. I was studying it, was saying it's probably had to do with the type of trees that were like crepe myrtles that would kind of weep on you as you went by. But the imagery's clear. When you go through junk in your life, because you have the Lord with you, oh, it's going to be a great place. It's going to be an amazing place. You're going to be okay. And as I was preparing this lesson, I went to the Bryan Public Library. I haven't been to the Bryan Public Library in 1.5 to 2 years. And as I'm sitting at a little desk and I'm writing what God's showing me, I start thinking about some of the valleys that I've been through, some of the places of sorrow that I've walked in. And Paul and Becky Schaefer came to my mind. I started thinking about losing little Abigail. And as I'm writing this down, what I'm about to tell you, I look up. Becky Schaefer's walking her kid upstairs to take her to Bible, not to story time. And when she came back downstairs, she talked to me. She came and hugged my neck because she is my sister. And I said, I want to share with you what I'm writing. I want to make sure it's okay with you. And we both sat at the table and wept and wept and wept over it because she had felt like, she goes, Howard, you don't know how important this is right now because I felt like everybody had forgotten my little baby. I said, God's never forgotten your baby. And anyone who was there, I promise you, will never forget their baby. Because we were there in the hospital room holding her after she was gone. We cried buckets. It was just sorrow and brokenness. And there was confusion, and we didn't understand. And I'll be honest with you, I still don't understand to this day everything that happens, but I know God and I trust Him. And that's what we did that night. We turned to Him and we said, God, help! You see, in those hard times, you don't pray any of those fancy prayers. You don't pray King James prayers, you know. You pray, help! I don't have anything to give them other than you. But what a great thing to give them. And so we stood around with them and we loved on them. Drove them to a place where they could stay the night. We all hurt so bad. And I'm not saying we hurt as bad as Paul and Becky. We didn't. But the body of Christ together, we hurt together. I've cried probably 6-8 times since I've written this lesson down again about that baby. But I trust God. And I turn back to Him and I say, I understand, Dad. I don't get it, but I trust You. I know why bad things happen. I don't understand this, so I trust You. Guys, blessed are those whose strength is in You. Remember I told you to be envied. What are you going to do if you go through that without Him? How do you make it? I don't understand. I've seen so much junk, death, and dying in my other job. I don't know how lost people make it without His strength. But here's the cool thing, y'all. It's not creeping by. It's not just barely surviving. From strength to strength. Increasing in victory, y'all. Bigger and better and more. And we're like, God, I'm close to You. And it's worth it. You are my only hope. You're all I've got. And it's enough. If I lost all my family, He'd be enough. Because He'd have to be. But I want Him to be enough in today. Why do we settle for less? What is the junk we're buying and saying, this is enough? We're settling for so much less. What is my clothes? What is my job? What is my money going to buy me in a circumstance like that? It's going to help me somehow? It's going to help me make it through? No. Only God. Only God can save. Only He's going to get you through something like that. Let's go on. Look upon your shield, O God. Here with favor, look with favor on your anointed one. Here he's probably talking about the king. And I started thinking about this and struggled with it for a little while, but I want you to think about this. If you're on a pilgrimage, I'm going to get it out, a pilgrimage, the king is who protects you. And so I'm going to give you a couple little pieces of advice here. We're on a pilgrimage through life. Stop talking bad about the president. It's sin. Pray for him. Ask Him to be the king that will protect us in our pilgrimage as we get closer to God. Is our God not big enough to change His mind about stuff? Y'all, we serve too small a God if He can't change the president of the United States. Too small. What about Alan and your elders here? The Bible says in Hebrews 13:17 that you should obey them and you should listen to them so that their work will be a joy to them and they'll be of benefit to you. It's one of those beautiful symbiotic relationships. It's just this beautiful circle. As I was talking to Michelle about it earlier, it reminded me of the whole love and respect thing. When it's flowing right, oh, it is sweet. But if you're like loving on Alan and them and you're helping them be who God's called them to be in their ministry, they have joy. And that joy brings them where they're more effective for you. That's just easy, y'all. Right? And so pray for those guys. Bless them every chance you get. And then I think the part we sang earlier, I think it's just so sweet. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Amen. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Oh, Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in You. What are we trading our relationship with God for? I love the example here, y'all. Better is one day. If I only got one, it's better than 1,000 days anywhere else. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather stand at the edge of heaven than live like a king in hell. I'd rather stand close to God in the rain than be warm and dry in the comfort of the enemy. We seek our comfort, we seek our solace in all the wrong places, guys. I I wonder, is it because we're afraid we're going to lose something of value? What are we holding on for? What are we holding on to? We're holding on to those nasty condoms and that crud, that poop, man. Let it go. If it's keeping you from sitting at the altar and talking to Him and hanging out with Him, get rid of it, y'all. And I know you're going to look at some of the stuff God's going to show you and you're going to immediately go, well, that's not bad. That's not... Look, if it's keeping you away from Him, it's bad.
Amen.
Okay? The end. Amen. If it's fun and it's keeping you away from Him, it's bad. God's teaching me so well from Haiti. I'm so concerned with fun. I want to have a good time. I got an eternity for a good time. Why don't I work now? It's still day.
Amen.
I don't need to be the only guy at the party. There's other people out there dying, y'all.
That's right.
And they're going to hell. Do we care? Do I care? What does it profit a man to gain the entire world but lose his immortal soul? You know what? You remember the sticker? He who dies with the most toy wins. That is so stupid, it's ridiculous. The guy that dies with the most stuff dies.
Amen.
And somebody gets his junk and they divide it out for people that don't like him and they throw away the stuff that was important to him because he's the only one that had sentimental value. Stupid. Eternity, y'all. We're talking about eternity stuff. Well, I'm talking about a pilgrimage from womb to heaven. Womb to hell. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Which is better? Which is better? Heaven or hell? He sold everything he had and was glad to do it for what he was getting. Heaven. Stop looking at the world. Look at heaven. We're getting a relationship with the Creator God. Jesus Christ died on a cross so that you can have a relationship with Him. We deserve hell, and we're buying it every day. Here's what I'm telling you. Listen. Pick one or the other. You want to be the kid like this? With your fingers in your ears? And listen to what God's saying to you today. You cannot serve two masters. I'm going to tell you, when I share the gospel with people, I always talk to them about the ABCs. We talk about admitting that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And if I asked everybody in this room, I said, have you ever sinned? Everybody in this room hopefully would raise their hand. If not, I'd call you a liar. And I'd raise your hand for you. And in America, if I said, the B is you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on the cross to pay for your sins. 3 days later, He rose again, conquering sin and death. Most people in America would go, sure, I believe that. I have no problem with that. And they'd die and go to hell. Because we don't ever get them to the sea, to commit, confess Him as Lord, commit your life to Him, admit that He's God and you're not. So you get to pick. And this is where we get off. You want to be the kid with your fingers in your ear. I believe enough. I've trusted enough. I've heard enough. I don't want to hear any more. Or do you want to ask God, hey, am I okay with you? It's not a hard question. You ask Him, God, am I saved? And if He says no, that's not Satan talking to you. If God says no, get saved. By admitting that you need Him. By believing and trusting in Him. By making Him your God. You have got to let Him be God. And so I'm going to pray. And we're going to sing some. The altar's open. You can draw close to it and talk with Him. Father, I love you. And I thank you for today that we could come and sit in this gym, what's normally a gym, but sit at your altar, sit close to you, hear from you. God, help us. Help us get rid of all the junk and the mess in our lives so that we can see and hear from you clearly. God, if there's people here that haven't trusted in you, God, help them. Help them trust you. Thank you for today. Amen.